God has put a word in my heart for you tonight, and I'm ready to get into it. Y'all ready to get into the Word of God tonight? We're going to help you tonight. So let's begin by going right over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, is there any encouragement in Christ? Any encouragement? If there is any consolation of love, is there any fellowship of the Spirit? If any affection and compassion, Verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love. Keep that in mind. Maintaining the same love. United in spirit, intent on one purpose. Let's go to verse 3. Doing nothing from selfishness. Ooh, wait a second. Is that in the Bible? That's right there, isn't it? Doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Now, wait a second. Hang on a second. Wait. What are you trying to say here? Well, I'm not saying anything. This is the Word, straight out of the Word. This is verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Wow. Wow. That is powerful. That's a powerful word right there. Now let's also keep that in mind. Remember some of those key words. Was there any encouragement in Christ?
Yes.
Okay. Was there any love? Is there any fellowship of the Spirit? All right. Being of the same mind, doing nothing from selfishness. Yes, that's in there. And not looking out for our own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Let's also tonight look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. This is from the New American Standard Version, by the way, for you trying to figure that out. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Next verse. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Everybody say amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's move to the next verse quickly. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. Watch this last part. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Wow. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. When God started dealing with my heart about the message for tonight, it was like I saw it like it was on the screen here. And sometimes God works with me by giving me a title first, and then kind of the message comes afterward. It just happens that way. And this is what I got from God. Not me, but we. Hope for your marriage. Not me, but we. This is not just about me. This is about we. This is about my wife and I. This is about us. This is about team. When it comes to marriage, this is a we thing. This is not a me thing. This is not a Tony thing. This is a Tony and Miriam. This is not just a Pastor Bob Nick. This is a Pastor and Joy. This is a we thing. We're in this together. We means that you are not in this alone. Man, I need that. I'm not just trudging through life alone. My wife is, her and I together make we. We sometimes think of marriage as two coming together, and it is two. It is two. But by faith, if you'll just see this, there's actually a little more than that. A godly marriage is actually three. It's three. So I want you to know tonight that if your marriage tonight is in trouble, if it's on the edge, maybe everything's okay. In any of those situations, you have the potential tonight to receiving and having the Lord's help, that third, right in the middle of whatever's going on in your life. Right in the middle of it. Amen. He's the one that makes the big difference. Ecclesiastes 4, a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Here it is from King James, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is a threefold cord. That's what it looks like. I have one right here. I have two right here, actually. Rope is made up of three strands. Good rope is. Each strand is made up of many individual fibers. And the strands are then woven or mingled is one of the words that people that make rope use. Like they say that they're mingled together. They're braided together to form one strong cord. So there's three parts in there, but they weave them together to make one stronger cord. And they're all woven in the same direction. So even though it looks like, you know, if you just take a quick look at that, it looks like maybe there's two. But if you just take it open a little bit, you'll see that there's three strands in there. There's three parts to that right there. But when they all get woven together, it just kind of looks like two. It just looks like it's just you and your wife, but there's a third strand in there. Hallelujah. There's a third strand, and it's that strand that makes the difference. That's what gives it the overall strength. That's good news, folks. That's good news. If there's not the third strand, then it quickly becomes unraveled and frayed. You know how that goes. You see it all the time. If just one of the strands is lost, the cord is much weaker and it will eventually snap under the load. You have to have all three. You have to have three. All three strands are needed because, again, the rope maker's words that they use is that the three strands friction together and they actually rely on each other. They become stronger because they're so close. They rely on each other to hold the weight. That's what a godly marriage does. Your marriage is designed by God to hold the weight, to toe the line, to go the distance, to be strong in any situation. But there has to be all three strands working together. You lose one, it's tough. It's tough. It's up to us to keep the three strands going. A good cord, when it's kept clean of dirt and debris, is always ready to use. And that kind of clean, free of debris cord can withstand tremendous instant pressure. Instant pressure. It can actually flex and give under the weight and absorb the weight and bounce back if it's clean and free of debris. But any good rope maker would tell you that if it's not cleaned and it's not cared for, the abrasiveness of the debris in there will cause small fractions in these strands. And then when the pressure comes, it snaps and it instantly snaps. Your cord has to be kept clean and free of debris. That's what the Word of God is for. Now you are clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. Glory to God. If you just look at those three strands as one being the husband, one being the wife, and one being God Almighty, if the husband clings to God, frictions on God, relies on God, and the wife clings to God, relies on God, well, how many gods are there? There's only one God. So the husband and the wife must be clinging to and relying on the same God, which puts them all together, braided and mingled together. Once all three strands are together and they're braided and they're working, it's important to remember that cord or rope is made for a purpose. You have a purpose. Wonderful, strong rope. Beautiful rope. Well-manufactured rope. That is coiled up and laying on the deck is useless. It's just coiled up. It's serving no purpose. It's towing no line. It's holding nothing. It's not standing any weight or pressure. It's just coiled up laying there. You know, your marriage has a purpose. You have an influence in this world. Your marriage has an influence. People watch you. People see your marriage. They see your church attendance. They see how you deal with things. They see how pressures come on you and you're able to walk right through them. because you are frictioning on God, relying on God, pulling on God, mingled with God, braided with God. What is your purpose? What is your marriage purpose? You need to find that out from God. You need to find that out. You know, there's lots of things that we would think of as a global purpose. We know it's right to win the lost. We know it's right and it's godly to read your Bible. We know it's right to pray. We know those things, but when it comes to specific purposes for your marriage and the influence that you have, you get with God and find out what that is. Amen. One great way you can find out what that is come back to Conqueror's Club. Amen. Nice segue there. Thank you. Look at this. From Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So let's talk about this just for a second. That's a lot easier to declare peace than it is to achieve peace. You hear what I said? As soon as your marriage begins, the enemy, everybody say enemy. Enemy. The enemy is against you, is against your marriage. The enemy will try to bring conflict. And conflict can, if unchecked, destroy the peace of any relationship. It takes work on the part of the husband and the wife to keep peace reigning in your marriage. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's the power of God, but you have to allow that power to come in. Amen. You have to allow that power to change you. It is human nature for two people spending a long time together in close proximity together to face conflicts. Can I tell you the truth tonight? Okay? You may face conflicts. You tend to have different goals, different interests, different tastes, different likes, different dislikes. So, according to Ephesians chapter 4, unity of the Spirit can only be preserved when the bond of peace is established and maintained. There's that word again. Maintained. Maintained. Peace has to be maintained in your home. It has to be achieved first. It has to be maintained secondly, and it has to be walked out daily from there. Do you know your marriage is a daily walk? It's a daily walk. We have to learn that the fruit of the Spirit promotes peace. Promotes peace. If you want to keep getting the same results, then just keep doing the same thing. If you'd like to have better results, then you are going to have to change and do something differently. It's time, I believe, for you, for me, for everybody in this room, it's time to break out. It's time to lay your pride aside and to follow the words of Christ. Because he has put this together in a package for you that's not difficult to understand. You remember the title, not me, but we. I looked that phrase up out of curiosity, and I found out that that phrase, not me, appears 8 times in the Bible. And they're pretty much all negative. However, the phrase, but we, appears 53 times in the Bible. And it's mostly positive. Mostly. There's some others in it, but mostly positive. And it's things like, but we will serve the Lord, but we will bless the Lord, but we believe, but also joy in God. We speak the wisdom of God, have the mind of Christ, shall be changed, are made manifest unto God, are bound to give thanks. That's the kind of things that but we is talking about. It goes on to say, we'll remember the name of the Lord. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the word. We'll preach Christ crucified, have this treasure in earthen vessels. Those kind of things are associated with but we. You know why? Because we is better than me. Two, remember what it said? Two are better than one. We is better than me. Mark chapter 10, verse 6. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Verse 7. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother. You know what it says. And the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Man, when I saw that word separate after the Lord was talking to me about the cord, I saw it as not separate. Let no man untwist. Let no man untangle, unbraid you, unravel you, unwind you, or unthread you. Let no man, let no situation, let no nothing come in and steal the peace of your marriage and unbraid you and separate you. Because remember, if this gets separated, tough times. Tough times. It's got to be kept together. The truth is, that person sitting beside you is a treasure. You have a treasure sitting beside you. That treasure is priceless. That treasure has worth. That treasure is valuable. This is not a me thing. This is a we thing. Do you feel like that person that God's given you is valuable enough to look at, to touch, to spend time with, to influence in a godly way? They're a treasure. Are you intent on one purpose? Because that's what Philippians is saying. Do you have humility of mind, or are you only looking out for your own good? It's tough, but we need it. The bottom line is, we must stick together. We've got to stick together. Look how they're sticking together. Look at that. Would you look at that? That's the way you and your spouse and God ought to be, right there. Inseparable, enjoying each other's company, glad to be with each other, can hardly get any closer. They love it. There's a picture for you of what God desires for your marriage to be, an intimate, braided, mingled relationship with each other and with Him. That's where the strength lies. That's where the go and the distance marriage strength lies. It does. Amen. You need your partner, and they need you. This is not a 50-50 deal. This is a 100-100-100 deal. God's already given 100. How much are you given? And I know you've heard the 200s before, but I'm adding the third one. Because God's in this, and He's that third strand in that rope that makes this whole thing work. Like Pastor Nichols says, love is giving your best with no strings attached except faith in the seed that you have planted. Let me ask you this. When you do feel like you've gone really overboard and given love, are you still attaching strings to it? Is it just giving something to get something else? Or do you really just give your love with no strings attached? Not necessarily expecting to get anything back, but knowing that God will. I want to tell you tonight, I know the condition of a lot of the marriages in this room. And there are marriages who you're doing okay. You're doing fine. There are marriages that you know you probably need some maintenance. And there are probably marriages in here that you're wondering, how's this going to turn out? You know what? I'm going to just tell you, no marriage is impossible with God. No marriage is too hard for God. But those sure look like big words. Those sure look like tough words. They stare you in the face when you face what looks like an impossibility. What seems like it's too much for you to take. What seems like it's too hard. God says no. Because nothing is too hard for God. Can you honestly tell me that there's something that's impossible for God? You cannot. Nothing is impossible for God. Oh, if nothing's impossible for God, that means, glory to God, that means my marriage is also not impossible for God. No matter what it looks like. No matter where it looks like it's going, it doesn't matter. No marriage is impossible, God. No marriage is too hard for God. God takes the impossibility and he takes the hardness of heart and the selfishness and the bitterness and all that, and he just burns it up. If you allow the Spirit of God to come in and change your heart. So the question is, in order to maintain your marriage, in order to get your marriage back on track, if that's what you need, are you willing to open yourself to God? Are you willing to be that third strand in that cord that is open to God to change? Because this can come unraveled. This can come separated. And then each one of these is just nowhere near as strong as when it's together. But then God comes along and just puts it back, and he twists it right back together and braids it in the same direction. Remember that? The same direction. Everything's moving together in unity. And the next thing you know, you've got this strong rope again that's flexible and able to hold the weight and go the distance. Glory to God. That's what God wants to do in your marriage, no matter what it looks like. Do not tell me that God can't do it for you. Don't tell me that. So, if you believe that God is on your side, you believe that God can actually do something for your marriage and take you somewhere further than you are now, even if what you think you've got now is good, I'm telling you right now, there's better. There is more united. There's more time, there's more family, there's more goodness, there's more home, there's more everything if you'll let the Spirit of God do it for you. But we have to open our hearts. Just like someone out on the street, what we tell them, you've got to open your heart to Jesus. You know what? In your marriage, you've got to open your heart to Jesus. You've got to say, I'm going to change. Change begins with me, but it ends with we. And I'm ahead of myself, but I felt like saying that. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple things. So how can, if you believe God's on your side, he's that third strand in the rope, and we're going to do this, what can you actually do about your marriage? Make it practical for me. What can I do, Tony? Tell me something. Here I am attending the new Conquerors Club. What can I do? Well, for some of you, this will be a refresher. For some of you, it'll be revelation. You can set a positive goal for your marriage. Take the high road. Is your goal to have a happy and nurturing relationship? Is that your goal? If your goal is proving yourself right, you may find yourself on the wrong track. Always keep your goal in mind and make sure your actions are aligned with keeping your goal. You've got to stay focused. This may sometimes mean not pointing out how right you are, no matter how much evidence you have. I don't know anybody that likes to be wrong. But you don't have to point out how right you are. Take the high road. This will help you. This will help you and not hurt you. Take the high road. Number next. Always see the best in your spouse. God does. That spouse that you've got, that woman God gave you, that man that God gave you, that guy is God's son. That woman is God's daughter, and he likes them a lot. How much do you like them? Keep in mind who you're taking out. Keep in mind who you're opening the door for. Keep in mind who's living in your house. That's God's child, and God does look after his own. That's not just somebody. That's God's somebody. Amen. God made them just for you. God, did you know that? God made that spouse just for you. Amen. I want to let you know that change is contagious. If you'll open yourself to change and let God change you, it is contagious, and then you'll turn around and the next thing you know, spouse is different. He's doing that differently. Glory to God, he's changing. That's because you're changing. Watch your words. Your words are powerful. With your words, you can compliment or you can complain. You can build up or you can backbite. You can rejoice or you can just regurgitate and keep chewing on some old thing. You have the choice. It's your words. You can bless or you can just bicker. You can love, or you can lie. You can even lie. You can edify, or you can just erase. You know, you can take someone's hope and just erase it with your words. You can tear somebody down. You can bring joy, or you can bring jealousy. You can minister to somebody, your spouse, or you can maim them. You can actually maim somebody and tear them up with your words. You can treasure someone, or you can taint them for life with harsh, edgy words that tear them down. You can guide, bring guidance, or you can gossip. You can be a vision builder, or you can be a vision stealer. Just with your words. The Bible says that your tongue is like the rudder of a mighty ship. That little rudder that can steer and determine the direction of that mighty ship. That is your tongue right there. If you don't like the direction that your ship is going, you might want to see which way the rudder's turned. And sometimes with a big ship that's been going in a solid direction in the wrong way for a long time, sometimes it takes a little time to turn it around. It does. I'm not lying to you. It'll take some time sometimes. But I'm telling you that it's worth it. If you'll put your trust in God, it's worth it. And I know, believe me, that there are a lot of you in this room right now that you really don't feel like there's really nothing wrong in my marriage. I mean, gosh, it's awfully harsh. You know what? You may need this down the road. And if you don't need it down the road, God may use this to let you minister to somebody who is going through it. Because remember, it's not about you. It's about we. It's not me, it's we. Amen. Keep an eye out. You have great influence. You know, you need to avoid the very appearance of evil. Man, I've talked to some folks just in the last month or so that, you know, they've got a precarious situation, and I think, well, what in the world? You let that come because you did something that was really looked like it was the wrong thing. Even when it wasn't, it looked like it was. It'll get you in trouble. Don't do that. Avoid the appearance of evil. Don't even go there. Don't see how close you can get to evil and not get caught. Run from it. Your spouse is watching to see what you do and how you react to certain things. You need to show them that it's godly. Always show them that you're under the influence of God. And you're attempting to do the right thing. They want to know that you're willing to stay away from anything that's even questionable. Amen. Anything that would come between you. That's important. This one goes with this. Walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is a must. At some point, you know, you've got to actually forgive your mate for whatever it is that they've done that was wrong. You've got to forgive them. You've got to let them know that you forgive them. And you've got to commit to move forward in your marriage. Got to do it. Forgiveness is a must. Everybody's done something somewhere along the way. Everybody has. People do blow it. But even God chose to forgive us while we were still dead in our trespasses and sins. He's our example. We've got to choose to love and forgive first. And you might see that as very difficult, but it is necessary. It is necessary. All right, I'm going to bring this to a close tonight. Anybody getting anything out of the Word of God tonight? Hallelujah. Because I actually have homework. Here you go. So we're going to meet again in a month, okay? This is not an overnight thing. You don't have just an overnight homework assignment, but you do have some homework. I'm going to issue this. Number one, write down three things about your spouse that you really value, things you really appreciate. You shouldn't have to think too hard now. Come on. This is an easy A. Easy homework. Ready? Here's number two. Here we go. Number two, recognize three ways that you, This is not your spouse. This is you. Three ways you have been selfish, and focus on God's word to change them. Number three, determine three ways you can put your spouse first. Gentlemen, that might be opening the door, maybe letting her go through first. As pastor says sometimes, if you're the kind of guy that does open the car door for your wife and then shuts it, let all of her get in first before you shut it. Now, that is some practical wisdom right there from Pastor Nichol. Let all of her get in. Don't let her legs get in, but her dress is still hanging out in the mud and stuff. Let her get all of her stuff, her purse, everything in, and then shut the door. Everybody get that? We want to pray for you tonight. Not going to make a long time out of it, but we just want to speak the word of God over you and bless you, bless your marriage. Just speak the strength of God into your marriage, because we believe God with you that things, no matter where they are right now, things are getting better and better. And we believe that. We believe that. Phil and Susan, we're just going to speak the word of God. I'm going to have you pray and just bless these couples, speak the word of God over them, strengthen into their marriages, and we're just going to believe God.
We can do it. Can I add one more little, for those of you, I'm not a big rope guy. This is the first I've heard I didn't know what the message was about, but you guys that have messed with any of, especially the nylon rope, what's a good way to make that stuff so it doesn't unravel? You add the fire to it. Add that fire. Yeah, see, he's got it melted right here. You add the fire to it, that helps it stay together. So awesome word, Tony. Very, very good. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word tonight. We thank you this word goes deep into every heart, every marriage represented here, whether they be newlyweds or whether they be going towards 60 plus. Father, we thank you that this word lodges in the heart, starts to continue to grow and get stronger and stronger. Father, we thank you that each one of these homes represented here tonight is going to benefit, going to value from this teaching. Father, we thank you that not only are we going to benefit in our own marriages, but we're going to be carriers, transporters of the good word. Father, we're going to be able to minister to other marriages. We're going to make ourselves available to other marriages that need help, that even if it's just a simple question, what to do here, how to do this, what'd you do there? Father, we thank you that we are available. This entire group is available to witness, to share with people. Father, we just thank you that with the good word that's been planted tonight, we see a result of the 21 plus years of the Conquerors Club that's been imparted into many of the couples, several that have been here since that thing was started. And we thank you, Father, for your word going deep in our hearts. And we just thank you that it's going to continue to grow. And we just speak a blessing over every marriage in this house. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. We thank you that just the fact that they're here shows that they care about their marriage. And Father, we thank you that you're going to bless that. Just like when we give, you're going to bless that we've brought ourselves here. We've listened to the word. The seeds are going deep in our heart. And Father, we thank you for we're going to see the harvest, huge harvest, and that it's going to touch other people, and it's going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And we thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.